Hey there, this is the Hello Personality Podcast, the place where you'll learn to use your personality type to create a radically authentic life that ignites your potential and creates positive ripple effects for all of those around you. I'm Leslie McDaniel, and this is Season 3, Episode 4. This season, we're exploring how to create a radically authentic and impactful life. And to do that, we're looking at a 5-part authentic life framework that I created or developed while working with clients over the years. And we're also looking at it through the lens of the 16 types personality system. So this episode is focused on part 3 of the framework, which is confidence. Now, I define confidence as having a willingness to step into the unknown, the willingness to take new actions to get new results, and the willingness to acknowledge what you are bringing into the world. If you missed the first few episodes of this season, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to those, as well as this one, since each episode in this season is only part of the whole. And by listening to the entire thing, you'll gain a whole lot more from this entire season about the Authentic Life Framework. Today, I want to share a little bit of my own story with you. And if you're new to me and the podcast, I really hope you'll indulge me a little by continuing to listen. Part of my own personal development work, and that is the work that's based on my personality types, ENTJ and Self-Preservation 4 in the Enneagram, has been to open up more and to share more of myself with others. So part of what has held me back from doing that over the years, or at least doing that in what I would consider public ways, is a concern for how I'll be received and also for the comments that I'll receive. Just to be really transparent, I know those people are out there because I've experienced them and I've received comments from them, just as I'm sure you have when you step up and share something about yourself. Another aspect of not sharing is that when I'm teaching or leading or helping people, I often think that people only want to hear about what relates to them and that they're not really interested in me personally. But when I've shared about myself in these forums, the feedback I receive is that that's actually not true, that people really do want to hear and learn a little bit more about the person they're listening to or reading from if you're on my email list. So when I relaunched my business as Hello Personality from the previous iteration of my personal development and personality type consultation business, I made it a point to open up and share more of my everyday life with people. Thus far, most of that has been done by sharing little vignettes of my life through my weekly email. And if you're not on that list, you can sign up by going to hellopersonality.com/typingguide. And that's the URL because when you sign up for my list, you get 2 free self-typing guides. But for some reason, sharing on the podcast feels like an even more vulnerable place to share. So today I want to share a few things about my own story, especially with respect to confidence, which is part 3 of the Authentic Life Framework, which will help you live a radically authentic and impactful life. Now, if you're just joining the podcast and you missed the first 2 parts of the framework, consciousness and clarity, you can go back to the last 2 episodes and catch up with those. Now, I've always been on a quest to figure out who I am and what I'm made of. And I haven't always known that that was like kind of a primary focus of my life, but it's true. From a very young age, I always wanted to be unique and to do things differently. I really had a desire to stand out from the crowd and not just do what everyone else is doing. And this desire, this ability, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's been both a source of strength and it's been a challenge in my life. And it's sometimes impacted my ability to move forward and make progress and even my confidence, even though I didn't realize it at the time. One thing to know about me is that I tend to hold a no excuses perspective on my own life. So that mindset has helped me to build confidence in my ability to plan and prepare and to know that I don't really have any excuse for not being ready for something. I know that planning and preparing and being ready, those are things that I can handle. However, even though I have those abilities, there are still many times when my self-doubt, my lack of confidence crept in the moment when I had to actually do the thing I had prepared for. And that made me wonder and question, like, am I really capable of making the things that I really want happen in my life? So this is something that most people probably don't know about me, but I was a band kid from about the fifth grade all the way through the end of high school. Now, you can make whatever judgments you like about me based on that information, but I really enjoyed music and learning to play instruments. So in addition to being in the school band, I also played piano, and I did that from a very young age through my teen years. And with band and with the piano music, every year I would attend a statewide music contest that my school took us to that was held for junior and senior high school students. And I would perform a piece with the piano and with my band instrument, which I haven't mentioned yet, but it's the trombone. Yes, that's right. I played the most awesome instrument that you can play in a high school band, the trombone. Don't argue with me on this one, okay? Just go with it. But anyway, I would practice and practice and practice, and I would memorize pages and pages, literal pages and pages of complicated songs for both instruments. I was ready. There was no doubt about it. However, once I was there and I was called up and I stood up in front of the audience of other students and parents and teachers and judges, I would often freeze up at some point during my performance. My mind would go blank and I just could not continue. Or I would make one little tiny bobble, one little mistake in the music that I had memorized, and I would really struggle to recover. And in reality, if I had just continued on, probably nobody in that room, except for maybe the judge who had the music in front of them, would know that I had made a mistake. But it was enough to cause me to lose my balance and just be knocked off of the piece I was trying to perform. I would get so upset. I would sometimes cry right there while I was trying to perform my piece, and sometimes I couldn't continue. I would get red and so upset that I had messed up. And wow, I really wish I could say something to that young Leslie, that young version of myself right now. She had so much anxiety around performing perfectly, and not to mention all the fear she felt of having all those eyes on her. And you know, I didn't mention this yet, but this young version of Leslie was so very self-conscious about pretty much everything. Oh, poor thing. I have so much compassion for her right now. So even during my school years, I pushed myself to be the best that I could. It wasn't about winning the contest. And in fact, our score of our piece wasn't based on the performance of the other students. It was purely for ourselves. So based on my own performance, I would be rated first, second, or third. And that was what I was so upset about when I would mess up, is that I knew that I could do better. It wasn't whether or not I did better than the other students. It was that I knew I had practiced and practiced and practiced. So I pushed myself to be the best that I could, sometimes to the point of exhaustion. And all those hours of study and preparation, not just for the music, but in other areas of my young life, it came at a cost for sure. But I've always felt that if I'm not moving forward, I feel like I'm stuck or maybe even moving backwards. And I don't like that feeling. I like to be moving forward. I like to be growing. I like to be changing. I like to be evolving. And making those mistakes and messing up on something for which I knew I was prepared felt like getting stuck, felt like moving backwards. And these experiences shattered some of my really fragile confidence that I had with all the preparation that went into it. And the preparation was meant to cement my confidence of the day of the contest. So let's fast forward to my adult life, and I'd like to share another story. See, another thing to know about me is that I don't like restraints and restrictions, and I'll be real honest, I won't be held back when those exist for very long, especially if they're in the way of something I really, really want. And my pursuit of uniqueness, which I mentioned earlier, sometimes led me down paths that were less than efficient, less than practical, and that actually took away from what I was really trying to get in my life. I had to learn to strike a good balance between maintaining my individuality and what I want and what I thought was best, and making progress towards the things that I really wanted. Several years ago, I was in a fairly new job, and I knew pretty early on going into it that my presence was going to create some tension among those who did not want change in this organization. And guess what? Change was the very thing I was hired to create. I faced resistance from other people in the organization who were really reluctant to embrace my new ideas. And that really challenged my confidence in why I was there, why I had taken that job, and if I would be able to create the changes that I felt needed to be made and the changes that I was, in fact, hired to create. So my desire to not only be unique and to put my own stamp on things at this organization, challenge the way that they had been doing things, the status quo, and to try some new innovative things added a layer of complexity to the situation. And I really, really struggled to reconcile my desire for innovation and change and to move forward with the practical constraints that existed in this environment. So you may be similar to me in this, but I had a vision for how things could be, but I encountered roadblocks and barriers at many turns. And there ended up being way too many meandering side roads for me to feel like progress was being made. So as I mentioned earlier, I won't be stuck for very long. I will not stay in that place. So this period of frustration and what felt like stagnation forced me to confront some of my own insecurities around why moving forward was so important to me and why doing things in my own way and why I was really adamant to make my specific vision come true and why those things mattered so much. This experience, it did rock my confidence too, because when others couldn't see the beauty of what I was trying to create, it made me feel like they weren't seeing me. And I felt really strongly that this was the right direction, but in the face of so much pushback, I really began to question if I was on the right track to begin with. So this, among other experiences in my life, led me to search for a deeper understanding of who I was and what I truly wanted, what truly mattered to me. I wanted to figure out what was underneath some of these things, these struggles that I was encountering in my life and in this organization specifically. So at this point in my life, I'd had some experience. I already knew several things about myself, including that I needed to feel like I was making progress, that I didn't like being held back, that I always wanted to put my own unique stamp on things, sometimes at the expense of progress. And I knew that I was rarely satisfied with the way things were. But if I was dissatisfied with that, well, what did I really want? Who was I really? I realized that my drive to be unique and to do things different was a big part of the way that I operated in the world. And by the way, I now understand that these things are driven by some of my personality type structures. But I also needed to learn when I needed to adapt, when I should compromise, when I should let go of my intense desire to do things my own way, to do things differently, so that I could make progress and live a life feeling more fulfilled and more satisfied and more content. Being someone who loves to receive feedback so that I can improve and move closer to the best version of myself, I turned to something that I thought could give me feedback on these questions that I had about myself, and that is personality type systems. I experienced a few bumps in the road on my quest to find my accurate personality types in the systems that I work with, but so many of the answers I had were found within my types. My journey of self-discovery through the lens of my personality types allowed me to embrace so many new parts of myself that were always there, but I hadn't recognized as important or necessary in the world. And my confidence honestly skyrocketed, even in situations that once intimidated me or caused me to question myself. Now I continue to be on this journey of honoring and appreciating the way that I'm naturally wired, and my personality types have illuminated the growth path that's before me based on my types. I can clearly see the automatic habits and patterns of thoughts and feelings and behaviors that get in my way and hold me back from getting to the most truest, the most essential version of myself. And this is an ongoing process. Don't think for a second that I have this all figured out. This is an ongoing process. This knowledge has helped me to bring greater balance to my life and has guided my decisions so that I'm sure that I'm choosing not only the things that I can do, the things that I want to do, that I think I want to do, but the things that are actually in alignment with the most authentic version of who I am and what my deep inner self, my soul really wants and desires, and who I want to be in the world and what matters most to me. I want this for you too. Confidence is a journey. Everyone struggles with confidence at times. It is through vulnerability, self-reflection, and growth that you can truly build the confidence that you need to live your most authentic and impactful life. So my journey has taught me that embracing my uniqueness and my individuality can be a source of strength. It's also important to recognize when we and those of us who experience that need to adapt and compromise in order to move forward. By striking this balance, we can develop a stronger sense of ourselves and greater confidence in our ability to navigate any of the challenges that life throws your way. And I hope by sharing my experiences and insights with you that you too can find the courage to embrace your authentic self and to cultivate the confidence that you need to live a radically authentic and impactful life. Confidence is a hugely important part of this authentic life framework. And so let's take a look at using the personality type system, the 16 types, to help you increase your confidence to live this kind of life. So in this episode, we're going to take a look at some really simple concepts that can have profound impact in increasing your confidence. So with that said, there are two basic guidelines I want to share with you. And those guidelines can help guide your focus of where you should look to increase your confidence. If you're an extrovert, the area of focus that will bring you the biggest impact to focus on is your internal world. In the 16 type system, you can look at this by identifying and working with your introverted cognitive functions. So for all extroverted types, that's the EJs and the EPs, these will be your second and your last functions in your cognitive function sequence. And if you're an introvert, the opposite is true. You'll have the greatest impact in your life and confidence and also living the life that you want that feels the most fulfilling and authentic and impactful by focusing on and developing your extroverted functions. For introverted types, the IPs and IJs, that is, these are still your second and your last functions in your cognitive function sequence. Now, if you don't know your type, that's okay. I'll show you how you can gain more clarity on this at the end of the episode. But just simply knowing, like truly knowing if you're an introvert or an extrovert, can be really helpful with confidence. As I just described, it can help you know which version of functions to focus on. But I also realize it can be somewhat tricky in this system. And the reason is because there's a culturally understood definition of extroversion and introversion, which is often that, well, if you're an introvert, that means you don't like people or people get in your way or you'd rather be by yourself or you like being by yourself. And that might be true in some circumstances, but there's also what Carl Jung meant when he first used the terms introvert and extrovert. What he said was that it's not about how much you like people or whether or not you like to spend time alone. It's where you tend to send the majority of your energy. Where does your energy naturally flow? So for extroverts, your energy naturally flows towards the external world. That could mean people, yes, but it might mean working on projects or getting things done or having experiences or engaging with your environment. It's hard to slow down for extroverts a lot of times. It's hard to stop doing things in the external world or focusing on things in the external world, which may be people, but it could be a lot of other things too. It's hard to do that, to stop doing those things so that they can then go inside. If you're an introvert, the opposite is true. Your energy naturally and regularly flows into your internal world. There has to be something that interrupts that to get you out into the external world. So your energy naturally flows to your own thoughts and feelings and ideas and beliefs and things like that. Now, all people have an introvert and an extrovert side. We have to. We have to have a way to go inside and we have to have a way to exist in the external world. But your overall preference in this system explains where your energy flows most naturally. You know, I've encountered a lot of extroverted types who think they're an introvert including myself. I thought I was one. And if you were typing me just on the way I interact with people and the way I am in the world, you might also think I'm an introvert. But in my work, the greatest trend I've seen of people who think they're introverts but are actually extroverts is that there are a lot of ETJs who think they're introverts, that is ENTJs and ESTJs, and a lot of EFPs, ENFPs and ESFPs. Now, those aren't the only ones, of course, but in my work, those are the people I've tended to work with that have come to me often thinking they're an INFJ. And many times those INFJs turn out to be ETJs or EFPs. If you've never heard my story of my mistyping journey, you can go all the way back to season 1, episode 3. And I also talked about the truth about introversion and extroversion in season 1, episode 5. So you can check that out to help clarify if you've landed on the right side of this dichotomy. For extroverts who need to spend more time in their inner world and need to gain more confidence in the things in their inner world, they often feel like maybe they don't have time, or they may feel like they're not making progress when they sit in introspection. For introverts, they may feel like there's not enough benefit of getting in the external world, or they may feel like it takes way too much energy or way too much recovery time on the backside. Side note, if you're an extrovert who thinks they're an introvert and you actually have in your mind, when I'm talking about getting into the external world, you have interactions with people or dealing with people's feelings and emotions or relationships. If that's what's in your mind, keep in mind that is not the only version of extroversion. That's only one style of extroversion. And if you're a different style of extroversion, then of course those things are going to feel overwhelming to you. So beyond the introvert-extrovert and introverted functions and extroverted functions, I want to give you three questions to help you ponder where can you shine a light and which soil may need to be fertilized to increase confidence in your life. The first question is, I want you to think of something that you may be avoiding right now. Is it an action you need to take, a task you need to do, a conversation you need to have, a break you need to take, or a boundary maybe you need to set or uphold? If you need to pause this and think about it, I encourage you to do so. But your response to this question may provide clues about where you need to practice confidence or engage in more confident behavior. Remember that the definition of confidence that we're using is the willingness to step into the unknown, to take new actions to get new results, and to acknowledge what you bring into the world. Question number 2, if there was one change you could make, or one action you could take that would have the biggest impact on your life right now, whether that's today or this week, what would that be? Is it the same as what you answered for number 1, or is it something different? Keep in mind that this may mean starting something or stopping something or simply doing something different than what you're currently doing. And the reason I'm asking this question and I ask you to compare if your answer is the same or different than number 1 is because oftentimes there's one action that if we would just do that one thing, many of the other issues would fall into place and work themselves out. Or those other issues would at least become more manageable. And here's the third question. What are some habitual thoughts, feelings, or actions that are holding you back and that may undermine your ability to confidently pursue the change that you identified in question number 2? Now, if you didn't catch all those questions because maybe you're in the middle of something, I encourage you to go back and write those questions down when you can. But if not, remember these three words: avoiding, what are you avoiding? 2, what change would have the most impact? So change. And 3, habit. What are the habits holding you back? Avoiding, change, and habit. So let's do a quick review of the Authentic Life Framework so far. We've covered the first 3 things that you'll want to look at and develop in your life that will equip you to lead the most radically authentic life and that will help you have the greatest positive impact in your life and in the lives of those around you. Those things are part 1, which was consciousness, part 2, which is clarity, and then today we talked about part 3, which is confidence. This framework, the Authentic Life Framework, is meant to help you pursue this radically authentic and impactful life. And I don't see these things, these aspects of this framework, as something that you master and move on. Because mastering something assumes that you are completely effortlessly able to do those things on a regular basis. And it also assumes that you're not going to have any setbacks when it comes to those three things, or that there's not really anything new to learn. But with this framework, it's an ongoing, growing, living thing. And they're meant to help you continually evaluate the path that you're on to help you determine, is this the right direction? So just like when I was a kid and I was shaking in front of my peers while trying to perform my contest pieces, I thought I was done with all the preparation that I had to do to play the music. I thought I had to just show up and play. All my preparation would pay off. But there were some underlying issues, right? If I had a different mindset, or if I had more resiliency, more confidence, and less focus on perfection, those things could have really served me well, even if I had made mistakes. They would have allowed me to continue to keep going. See, even though the music contest was literally about how well I performed, I believe that life is more about the process. There are ups and downs, and this framework that I'm sharing with you, and particularly the confidence aspect, will help you know that you can handle whatever comes your way. If you've been listening to the episodes in this season, you know that I've talked about how you can clarify your accurate personality type. This might be the action that you need to take to put aside any questions or lack of confidence about your type, and to clarify that growth path that's in front of you, just like I mentioned that I found for myself. As I shared earlier, finding my accurate type has made me feel so much more confident and comfortable in my own skin. I've shared details about this 16 types level 1 package in previous episodes, but right now I'm just going to say that if this is something you've been thinking about, go ahead and take the action to apply for the package. You will not regret it. I get so excited when I finish the sessions in this package and the client walks away with so many new insights. They're just smiling and they understand themselves so much more, which breeds a lot of self-acceptance just by understanding their type. In fact, I recently had this experience with a client, Dr. Sheena, who said at the end of her review of her experience with me and with the 16 types package, she said, "Discovering my true type and cognitive functions makes me feel like I'm at home within myself." And she goes on to say, "Investing in this package with Leslie has truly been a gift of self-acceptance." So, if this is for you, you can apply by going to hellopersonality.com/16types, and that's 16 types. And on that page, you'll see a button to apply. All right, so that's it for now. I'll see you again in the next episode, episode 5, when we look at the fourth part of this authentic life framework. I'll see you then. Take care.